At least 58 people now dead, more than 500 people wounded.
17 fires burning right now in the state, 5,700 structures destroyed, at least 35 people dead.
I mean, this was a massive church just outside of San Juan with a congregation of 3,000 people. Maria just shredded this building.
ISIS released a new video today showing the execution of 21 Coptic Christians kidnapped in Libya.
Two suicide bombings killed more than 40 people on one of the holiest days on the Christian calendar.
North Korea fires yet another missile, but Pyongyang claims this one will be able to hit the U.S. mainland, striking cities like Los Angeles, Denver, even New York and Boston.
They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen.
The world seems so unstable, so insecure. Everything is changing way too fast. But there are some things that are steadfast, things that never change: God and His Word. Randy Reams is pastor of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. Join Pastor Randy now as he shares truths from God's unchanging Word.
And you've heard me say this, man. God doesn't use you till you're broke. And I don't mean financially. Pick a guy in the Bible. Moses was next in line to Pharaoh. Sorry, that don't work. You haven't been broken yet. Every time, I mean, God sets up every guy. You've got to break down the flesh so the trust is in God. That's what this story is about, is Gideon getting to the fact that it's all got to be God. But then I run into the whole shofar thing. No, it's important. It is they blow trumpets, plural, not trumpet. People try to say this is typology of somehow of Revelation. No, those are seven trumpets, not a trumpet. So are seven individual trumpets. I know I'm saying it plural. But there's trumpet one, trumpet two, trumpet three. They're not blowing all at once. That's my point, okay? And you'll see in Scripture where trumpet is blown singularly, and then trumpets are blown in a unified whole. As you look at that, in Scripture, it was in some way to rally the people together to unite for some reason, okay? So we see it for war. It's blown not just in this story, but Joshua and Numbers shows us where they blow the shofars at once, many, and the people come together for war. But we also see that's the case for worship. They would blow these trumpets in unison to gather the people and together in unity so that they might worship. The Midianites thought they were fighting one army that was attacking in unison. How many of you have watched the Kung Fu movie? I've never understood why all the guys come around and attack that one guy one at a time. Or a sword fight. Right? There's 27 guys around, and the sword fight guy's fighting this guy, and they all watch, and once that guy's killed, then he turns, why don't y'all just attack at once? Doesn't that make more sense? To me, it does. But we know then the guy would be killed, and the hero in the movie would be over. But we know that when they're all attacking here at once, that's the idea that is afraid of them. I want you now to turn to John chapter 17. All right, I'm not going to read the whole thing. We're just going to break it down a little bit. This is what's called the high priestly prayer. This is where Jesus is praying. Who's praying? Okay, just checking. All right, so we get to verse 11. It says, keep them, this is Jesus praying to the Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me so that. What's the reason for keeping them? That they may be one as we are one. Then verse 14 tells us, I gave them your word. Keep them from the evil one. Now sanctify them with the truth. Your word is truth. Okay. For I have sent them into the world. Sanctify them. Again, it says. And then we get down to the last part of verse 20. I do not ask this for these only, these 12 guys or these 11 guys. But also for those who will believe through me, or in me, through the word, or their word. Who's that? That's us. Okay, listen to it. That they may be one. Come on, you'll get the hang of it here in a minute. Just as we are one. Verse 22 goes on and say, and the glory that you have given me, I have given them. It's reflective, like the moon is the sun. Don't
anyway, because God shares his glory with no one. I'll keep moving. All right, then we're down to verse 22, the last half of that. That they may be one, even as we are one. Yeah, you're catching on. I in them, you in me, that they may become perfectly one. Yeah, there you go. So that. Why is he praying that they, that's us at this point, he's gone beyond the disciples, we've won, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Jesus is praying that the world may know that Jesus is real and that we are loved by God when we are one. Is that how you would describe the church? Jesus' own prayer is that we would be in unity. Here's one of the reasons why. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 8. Five of you shall chase 100. 100 of you shall chase 10,000. Spiritual unity exponentially multiplies the effectiveness of the church. Five, put 100. Okay, five times what equals 100? 20. That's a 20 times increase. But when you go to 100 to 10,000, what's that? 100 times 100. That's 100 times multiplied. As you go along, it grows. It doesn't just go when there's five, there's 20 times more, and there's 10, there's 20 times more. And when, no. As it grows exponentially. That unity, God knows. I'm asking you, God, to make sure that my people stay in unity. Ephesians chapter 4. One thing you usually can't accuse me of is not using scripture. Chapter 4, we'll break it down again. Verse 1 through 3 is a call to unity. Verses 4 through 6 says there's one body, one spirit, one Lord, one baptism, one God. A reason for unity. And then he talks about the way diversity in gifts by that one spirit. Okay, I want you to be in unity. I've given gifts, and in particular, I gave what we call the fivefold ministry, the five offices, pastor, teacher, evangelist, apostle. I give you those. For what purpose of these offices? Starts going through verses 12 through 16. Verse 13 says this, basically this, unity, maturity, and sound doctrine. I'm going to suggest to you, you can't have unity without sound doctrine and maturity. Because immature people fight all the time. If you don't believe me, watch our kids. Now, verse 15 and 16. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined together and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. A mature body that's in unity don't need a preacher. You do, but he isn't the cause of growth in the people. I'm not talking about numbers. When the body's in unity and mature and knows its doctrine, it feeds itself. So you've heard me say it, and I've said it before. Most of the time you get visitors, what's their reason for coming? Because at church, B-A-L, we weren't being. What's that tell me about the church? Most likely. Or maybe the people themselves. They're not in unity. They're not mature. And they don't know sound doctrine. Either the people don't or the church don't that they're talking about. Maybe these people just aren't mature, and that church spoke the truth in love, and they couldn't handle it. When you get mature, and your boss corrects you, you handle that okay. When you're immature, you quit.
God says, the reason I gave the church the offices that I did, the reason I gave the church the gifts that I did, so they would be in unity and maturity and they will be self-growing. Wow. Well, I thought that was, no, it isn't the job of those five guys to do the growing, to equip you so you grow within yourself. That unity that's there. Now, I think it's important that we as a body stand shoulder to shoulder. We're in groups of 300 or groups of 100. But shoulder to shoulder. Now, I am just amazed. I am amazed, okay, how many people will not worship with other people. Because we're spiritual, we raise our hands, you don't, we don't worship with you. What? Or the other way around. We aren't emotional like you people who raise your hands. We don't worship with you. Or you sing hymns and we sing choruses, or you sit in pews and we sit in chairs, or the label above the door. We should be united, and I'm going to run through these on purpose. We should be reunited in these causes. The Trinity itself, the triune God, co-eternal, co-substantial, co-equal. If you don't know what those are, you should have been, you missed too many Wednesdays. The Bible is inerrant and authoritative, supreme, as the gauge of doctrine and practice. You have the fall of man and sin coming into the world through Adam. You have the incarnation of Jesus Christ through truly God and truly man. We call that the hypostatic union, all right? The virgin birth, the sinless life, substitutionary atonement on the cross. Anyway, and then we are regenerated by grace through faith in that work that Christ did on the cross. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. We will meet him in the air, whatever time period you have that at, and his victorious return. I don't know about you, but I could stand that to anybody holding on to those. Now, wait a minute. Here's the difference. I'm talking about the life of Jesus Christ and the resurrection, his death. And you got a different Jesus. That's a whole nother story. You can use the same language, but I'm talking about the Jesus of Scripture, the Bible, not the Book of Mormon, the Bible. I will stand shoulder to shoulder with you. In America, we have this idea we're so individualized, we have to have our group. The church is ineffective because we're not united. No, united doesn't mean we meet all in the same place. Do you understand that? It doesn't mean we do all things the same way. But we're united in the cause of Christ and the gospel. Those things we stand firm on. And I'll sit next to you and worship with you. I'll sit next to you. I'll come pray with you. I'll come. You don't have to have my label above your door. That unity is so powerful. I think this is why you see places like China where the church explodes. Why? Because the church is persecuted. This last year, I forget how many churches China went after and made them tear down their crosses, tear down. You couldn't have a symbol outside of a, yeah, y'all get together when the government's coming after you. People didn't care what denomination Dietrich Bonhoeffer was when Hitler was doing what he was doing in Germany. It didn't matter. The walls, but we live so fat and happy here. We will divide on whether or not you make the chairs the color I want. We create systems of division. Did you hear me? We create systems of division. You have adults. You have young adults. You have single young adults. You have married young adults. You have divorced adults. And you have the senior adults. Then you have the student ministries, the college student ministries, the high school student ministries, the junior high student ministry. You have the children's ministry. You have the nursery. And then you have the preschool. And then you have the... We create division. Then we do this. Hey, whatever decisions we do, let's vote on it. You know what that creates? One losing side, one winning side. What? Even when they picked a disciple, they didn't do that. They rolled dice. There's no winner or loser then. We didn't pick it. Just how the lot turned out. We create systems. We actually adapt world systems that create cracks in the foundation, if you will, or you know what I'm saying? Create those places where this winter, how many of you noticed the roads?
do. Even parking lots. I was at even here, it was, I think it was a month ago, I was at Fred Meyer. And I roll the cart, I'm going, I go inside and tell the manager, it's hollow under there. You could hear it. You know what I'm saying? And they got a hole there now. See, what happens is there was a little crack. And the moisture got in. Freeze, unthaw, freeze. All Satan wants is a crack. A little bitty piece. And if he can create division, whether it starts in your family, like Gideon, starts at home, creates division there. Women's equality has created division in the family, in the church, in the workplace. You pick it. Now, wait a minute. Women are equal. They're the same ontologically as I am, have the same value of being. They're human beings. Ontology has to do with being. They're as equal as any male on the planet in value and everything else. Right? But everybody, not everybody can try it. Try you both try to drive the car at the same time. No, so they'll argue this. No, you just get over and let me drive a while then. There's not both at the same time. I'm driving now, she says. We can't allow that in. The problem is it sounds good. Come on, women. There are some of you out there, you got about a million times more talent than the man you're married to. But God doesn't do it by talent. Gideon's a good example. I didn't pick the guy that was standing on the hilltop saying, we need to do something about the media. I picked a guy down in the hole. God sovereignly did what he did at creation, in the created order, for, I gotta do this. Okay, does God do things arbitrarily or on purpose? Okay, watch. Let there be all the creepy crawly things. And they were there. Let there be all the plants. And they were there. Let there be all the things that are in the water. And they were there. Let all the little birdies in the sky. And they were there. Adam and Eve, is that how he does it? No, he intentionally makes Adam from the dust of the earth. Why don't he make Eve the same way? Because he has a plan. He has a purpose. He wants to show you something. Male and female created he them. When he said, let us make man in our image, male and female created them, and then purposely created them in that order and that way. I mean, God could actually know what he's doing. See, they try to act like the Old Testament law was all this, and come to the New Testament, we've all been set free. Well, good. Go to the Garden of Eden before there was sin. How was it like then? They try to tell you that they had same functions and same roles. Uh-uh. Eve didn't name one animal. Dude, I don't want to be on the planet without Eve. But God does things the way he does them on purpose. And he recognizes when you recognize what he's done, then you'll have unity. As long as you think God did it wrong, then I get this one. Yeah, but the culture that was corrupted by sin and that was the male chauvin. Wait a minute. So God, when he created Adam and Eve, didn't know they were going to sin, didn't know what culture was going to come out of that, didn't have anything to do with forming the Jewish culture. Not a chauvinist.
Well, but the Bible talks about God having female qualities. He gathers together his children like the chicks.
I hate to tell you, ladies, that's not a female quality. That's a chicken quality. So you're saying God can be a chicken too? Do you understand what I'm saying? Just because it's a hen, it's a female hen, doesn't mean necessarily. Now, I don't argue that God does display female qualities, but when those who want to argue this, so what you're saying is men have distinct qualities and women have distinct qualities, and God showed you his qualities over here and females. Well, no, I'm not saying there's particular things that are male and female. We're the same. But then you want to point at Scripture and show me how they're different. Okay, it's just a wedge the enemy wants to bring into the picture. It's a wedge to come in and say, you have to do worship in a Pentecostal, charismatic, flamboyant kind of way to be worship. And I say that because we're sort of like that, sort of. We're not all him, you know, said here quiet things, so I'm coming against us ourselves so nobody thinks I'm criticizing them. But if you go to somewhere else, you'll be glad to worship with anybody after you've been out there for a while.
We worship the same God, whether it's from a hymnal or from a screen. Ooh, I'm going to get in trouble. It's the same God, whether it's a King James. It's God we worship, not the book. It's God we worship, not the music. It's God we worship, not the pew. It's God we worship, not the style of dress. It's that same God. Let's stand next to the whatever. The guy with purple hair and sticking out the top. If he loves the same God, I don't care. If it's the guy in the three-piece suit, he's always in a suit. You never see him not in a suit. I can stand next to him, too, and we'll praise God together. We'll talk about the word together. We might disagree on some of those side issues, but then we got those base ones together. We'll shout together because one of these days we're going to be. The church in the United States has become ineffective because it's not unified. I've had people in this pulpit that you would, if we labeled them theologically, don't fit in the same stream I do. Now, I might guide them a bit and ask them to speak in a certain area, all right, because I don't want to cause division here. You know what I'm saying? There are people in this community that I would allow to come stand in my pulpit. But they don't have the same label I have. Yeah, but they worship the same God I do. Be careful. Be careful in yourself. Look for signs in yourself. The us-them mentality. Even though we're not a program-oriented, generationally fractured. Oops, is that biased? Anyway, even though we're not, I have no problem fellowshipping with him. If God right now, for some reason, called me to, he's not, and I called me somewhere, and I was going to pastor church, and that church has been that way, I'm not going to come in there and tell them they have to do it different. As long as those core essentials are the same. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's the key. And watch, I'll show you. I'll prove it to you. You think you're just making this up from the scripture, Randy? No. Let's hear it. We go on to chapter 7. And it says, after these 300 guys did their thing, we're at verse 23. And the men of Israel were called out from Naphtali, from Asher, from Manasseh, and they pursued the Midianites. What men? The ones that went home. God says, you don't understand. The victory isn't just for those 300. It's for Israel. When another church in town, God does great things in them, and they explode, and they build the new building, and you don't go, oh, gee, that's spending a little too much money on a building. Well, you know why they're growing over there is because. No, you should shout with them. We're on the same team. Whether you're first string, second string, or the water boy, you're still on the same team. I am disturbed in my spirit. I'm getting passionate and going long, I know. But I get disturbed in my spirit when I hear something go wrong in another church. I don't go out to see if I can find where their members went. To see, well, let's offer them a place now. No, I'm disappointed. I don't want to see the kingdom of God in any way fractured. And I hope you're the same. We find that these guys now go on and chase down the bad guy generals. These other, you can add up the math, so 22,000, 10,000, or 9,700. Those guys are the ones, God says, look, I know I used these people, but you get to be a part of it. And as Gideon's name was attached to mine in the battle, your name is attached to mine too in the victory. That's the cool part about when God uses you and you recognize it isn't about me. It's about the team, if you will. God now attaches your name to what he's doing. But we're too busy trying to label names. God does it this way here under Fred, that way over there under Apollos, this way under Paul, this way. I know you thought it was a new modern American idea, but that happened way back then. If we can stand on the cores and be unified, even within our own body, there they go. They sing that song. I hate that song. I wish they wouldn't sing that. I know you've never done that. I've done it. Well, wait a minute. That doesn't unify me with you in spirit, in worship. And then other people around me are getting blessed, and I'm sitting there going, I wonder why I'm not getting blessed. Because I was picking apart the song. It's that unity where victory comes over the enemy when we're unified. We'll start this at home. That's the first thing Gideon had to do, was take care of what was at home. Start with the unity in the home, and then bring unity into the family of God, and see what's happened. And I'll give you a last example. The current administration. There is a side doing everything they can to make those guys look fractured. Because here's what they're hoping. If you're smart at all, here's what you're hoping they'll do. They'll start blaming each other. Or, like the Midianites did, start turning on each other. Don't let the enemy get you to turn on each other. Young people, listen to me. Your parents are not your enemy. Don't turn on them because life doesn't go your way. Life will grab you really hard, throw you down on the mat, and stomp on your head. Stay unified with your family. Let's stand. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word, that it speaks life and truth to us, that it sanctifies us, God, that calls us into your holiness. But Lord, this is a cry that I've heard so many times, but I'm going to pray the prayer even that Christ prayed. God, make us one like the Son and the Father and the Spirit are one. Father, give us the hearts to cheer on our brothers and sisters who don't have the same label, who don't come to the same building. God, help us to recognize the essentials, and we can discuss the other things all day long. But give us unity both in home and in the church. And then, oh God, we'll get to see you do mighty things. Amen.
This is Pastor Randy Reams of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. I want to thank you for joining us today for Truths from God's Unchanging Word. This broadcast is an outreach ministry of Kindred Bible Church. I'd like to invite you also to visit our website, kindredbible.org. There you can listen to today's broadcast as well as previous broadcast. If you're being ministered to by the broadcast, I'd like to encourage you to let us know. You can email us at info@kindredbible.org, or you can write to us at Kindred Bible Church, P.O. Box 32, Nampa, Idaho 83653. And I'd like you also to check us out on Facebook. Look at us over there and give us a like. So again, I want to thank you for listening to Truths from God's Unchanging Word.